The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Time now for our entertainment preview to take a look at what's on TV and on demand for the week ahead. Joining me now, both remotely, our producer-director Brian Redden and writer-broadcaster and telly addict Jen Gannon. Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Afternoon.
Brian, should we just start briefly and mark the passing of Christopher Plummer, who are people obviously best known for The Sound of Music, but an interesting kind of character too, wasn't he?
He was a fascinating guy. I'm 91 years of age when he passed away this week, and he started off, he's Canadian, and he started off as a Shakespearean actor. So he came to movies kind of very late. He had made his mark on stage, both in Canada, on Broadway, and in the UK as a Shakespearean actor. So The Sound of Music was one of the very first, not the first, but one of the first movies he ever made. And it's interesting it became his most iconic and most famous role because he absolutely hated it. He thought it was kind of a trivial role. He couldn't sing. That's not him singing the movie, by the way. I hate to burst anyone's bubble. It's his voice dubbed by somebody else. Somebody else's voice dubbed him, rather. He used to call the film The Sound of Mucus. So it took him a long time to come around. Actually, on the 40th anniversary of The Sound of Music, when all the cast got together, all the kids and Julie Andrews, he didn't turn up. But by the time they got to the 50th anniversary, he had kind of relented and decided, you know what, I'm going to embrace this thing.
Learned a bit of gratitude.
Yeah, he changed his attitude. He said, I can't get away from it. I'm going to embrace it. So he came to love it eventually. But he did consider himself a much more serious actor than that. And he had a great body of work. My favourite film of his was the film he won the Oscar for, a film called Beginners, where he plays this. He's in his 70s and his wife has just died. And he comes out to his son and he starts to live the rest of his life as a gay man with a much younger partner. And it's a brilliant, brilliant performance. So if you get a chance to see that anywhere, it's called Beginners. Okay, Hugh McGregor's also in it, but that's a fine performance.
Right, never come across
that. But he sadly missed it. He's a great actor.
Yeah. All right. Jen, bringing us up to date. The big Netflix movie release this week is Malcolm and Marie. And this is a kind of, it's a lockdown-y two-hander, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So it's by the creator of Euphoria, and it stars, that's Sam Levinson, and it stars that his breakout star of Euphoria, Zendaya, and the man of the moment, John David Washington, who was in Tenant, and is Denzel Washington's son. And it's this very arty black and white two-hander, and it's very much, you know, a bit like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf or those Richard Linklater before films, and there's a little bit of the Cassavetes kind of two-hander domestic drama about it. So it's really unfurls over one night, and basically Malcolm is a film director and he has this new film about this edgy kind of addiction drama, but it's based on Marie's past struggles and her past life. And so Malcolm kind of is this very egotistical young director, and he forgets to thank Marie in at the premiere of the film, and this oversight plus his whole disgruntlement at the critics' reaction to the film kind of sets up the couple for this long slow night of monologuing about arts and relationships and race and sex.
Okay, is this a long, slow film? Are we talking?
It's very self-reflexive. It's very self-important and self-indulgent. Okay. And it's a film about filmmaking. So if you can put up with that, go for it, I say. But it is a bit of an arduous slog. For me, I found it a lot. It's very worthy. I'll just
grand,
say that.
Grand. Look, that'll save some people some time, and some people will be fascinated by that and wanting to have a go. On a lighter note, First Dates is back on TV.
Yeah, I'm delighted about this. I think people like are just gravitating right now towards something comforting and something that's, you know, unifying telly that's very heartwarming. So it's back on Thursday at 9:30. And I think this series is going to be an interesting one because it was filmed last summer during the COVID restrictions. So all of the participants have been warned to keep their distance from each other, basically. So there's no hugs, no any kind of tactileness, and definitely no smooching. So actually, it just sounds like a normal episode of Irish First Dates, because I think the couples on the Irish First States aren't as relaxed as their British counterparts when they're, you know, on telly. They're very aware of being on telly, and they have that unique kind of feeling that your Auntie Mary or everyone that you work with is going to be watching you. So I just wonder, though, I mean, how it's going to work out. I think it's going to be a lot of awkwardness, a lot more awkwardness, because we have the shields and the screens. And I just think that it might actually have the opposite effect and make, you know, people look like forbidden fruit to each other. And it could have some sparks flying. And, you know, God knows, lockdown has made people crave any kind of affection, any kind of contact, especially single people. So I think these dates will definitely have this other kind of interesting element to them for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Brian, if Malcolm and Marie is the big release on Netflix this week, the big release on Amazon, where I have to admit we discovered we had Amazon because we have Amazon Prime, right? I can never find anything to watch on it. But they're releasing Bliss, or they have released, with Salma Hayek and Owen Wilson. The reviews haven't been great, but I like Salma Hayek, and Owen Wilson, you know, he's very watchable too. Is it any good?
Yeah, it's okay, you know. The reviews have been mixed. Like yourself, I only realised I had Amazon Prime recently. I didn't realise I had it.
I think there's a lot of people like that, yeah.
I was going, oh, that comes with the postage. I didn't realise that. Yeah. So, yeah, Bliss started on Friday. And I think it's a much better idea than it is a movie, but it's a really interesting idea. And it's kind of worth watching, you know. So Salma Hayek, Owen Wilson plays this guy called Greg, and he's recently divorced, and he meets this kind of mysterious woman called Isabel, who's played by Salma Hayek, and she's homeless. She lives on the street. But she's absolutely convinced that the world that they live in, the kind of broken, polluted world that they live in, is not real. She's convinced that it's actually a simulation made by far more intelligent people who live in a world of bliss, hence the title. So what she believes is that she comes from a world where everything is beautiful, everything is peaceful, everything is blissful, everybody gets on really well. And in fact, they've created this simulation of a harsh, vindictive and horrible world where we are all living. So she's able to go between these worlds. Now, obviously, Owen Wilson thinks she's absolutely nuts. But as he spends more time with her, he slowly starts to think that there might be something in her conspiracy theory.
Okay, so that's a much more interesting film than I thought it sounded like. I presumed it was going to be that Owen Wilson gate-crashed a wedding and hooked up with Salma Hayek, who was a feisty kind of Latino. Okay, that sounds...
That film I'd watch. I'd watch that film too. I know
there's a lot of films like that around. Listen, the other thing is, Coming to America 2, is that a thing now?
That's amazing, isn't it? All these years later, and it's coming to Amazon Prime in about 4 weeks, so it's a bit away yet, but they've made a sequel to Coming to America. Now, that could be a very bad thing, or it might be a very good thing. But basically, this follows up on the comedy classic with Eddie Murphy. I love the original. I thought the original was fantastic. So Eddie Murphy is back. He hasn't aged a day. This time, he's now the king of Zamunda. His name is Akeem, and he comes back to America because he's figured out that he left a son behind. He has an illegitimate son in America, and he wants to bring him back to his homeland to become a prince. The only snag is that he already has kids, he has daughters, but in his homeland, women are not allowed to assume the throne. So he has to bring back his son. So that's what it's all about. All the original cast are back. Eddie Murphy is back. James Earl Jones is back. Arsenio Hall. A couple of additions to it. Tracy Morgan, who's normally very, very funny. And Wesley Snipes. So it's kind of interesting. But I just happened to watch the trailer. I didn't realise there was a trailer for it, but the trailer dropped last week. I watched it last night. And I'm a bit iffy about it. The trailer looks like it could be absolutely awful.
Yeah, and listen, Coming to America came out in very different times as well. You'd wonder if some of that shtick that was in it will wash with people these days. Okay, and where is that going to be? Is it going to be streaming?
It's going to be on Amazon Prime.
Oh, it is. That's Amazon as well. Okay, so right. So listen, anyone who has the postage thing, we should just underline to them again. You've access to all these middling films as well. So there you go. All right, listen, Jen and Brian, stay with us and we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with some movies on TV.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back, Brian Redden and Jen Gannon, still with us. And guys, we have about 6 minutes now, so let's try and romp through some, because we've lots of good stuff to mention. Jen, Catch Me If You Can is on RTE2 tonight, I think at 9 p.m. Always worth a watch again, isn't it?
Yeah, I really just think it's the best of the later era Spielberg. Like, it's just a proper enjoyable romp. And I think Leonardo DiCaprio is at his most charismatic in this. And you have Tom Hanks just being this stoic government shill. And it's just really breezy. I love everything about it, from like the opening credits with their Saul Bass style, they're looking. And it's really the jazzy kind of soundtrack and those 1950s, 60s kind of look of it. And it's just this fun knockabout nature of the whole story. And it's a cat and mouse thriller based on a true story. Leonardo DiCaprio is Frank Abagnale. jail, and he's this teenage fraudster who has this world-beating confidence, and he passes himself off as a doctor, a lawyer, an airline pilot, blagging free plane rides around the world. And he has this neurotic compulsion to deceive and steal, and it seems to kind of stem from witnessing the humiliations of his bankrupt father, who's played by Christopher Walken, and he's always ducking and diving to avoid the tax authorities.
And listen, doesn't it evokes that golden age of air travel so well as well, doesn't it? Which at the moment, seems even further away than ever. And listen, Jen, another Netflix one, but I know that this is hugely important to a lot of people out there, and that is To All the Boys, Always and Forever, the final one in the trilogy, I believe.
I absolutely love these films. This is on Netflix from Friday, and it's just this really charming teen romance trilogy. So this is the last one, and this sees Lara Jean preparing for college and her future, thinking about her future. She takes a trip to New York and holidays with her family in Korea, and she starts to think about her life outside of her relationship with the ever adorable Peter, who's played by Noah Centineo. And she's wondering about what striking out on her own would look like without her family around her. And it's just, they're very sweet, tender love stories, and it's all about the comfort of family and the excitement of first love. And I just think, you know, these kind of films have smoothed out that kind of cynical, apathetic edges of the modern teen comedy, that they can be oftentimes very glib and bitter, but this is very sweet and gentle. And if you're looking for something comforting, I can't recommend them enough.
Okay, and look, a lot of people want to know what you're talking about there, but it was Barry Desmond said, "Them that needs to know, know." So that's dropping on Friday for fans of the To All the Boys franchise. Brian, tomorrow's an exciting day for you, I know, because Jaws is on ITV. And for all your highfalutin notions about film, Jaws is your all-time favourite film, isn't it?
Jaws is my all-time favourite film. I cannot tell you how much I love Jaws. I've seen that, and people are always surprised when I say that, but to me, it is the perfect movie. I've seen it maybe 20 times. I'll be watching it again tomorrow night on ITV. It is just so brilliantly structured. There's great performances in it. It's a brilliant story. From the very first moment where the shark gets that female swimmer in the opening moments of the movie to Robert Shaw heading out to try and catch the shark, it is just brilliantly paced and brilliantly directed. It's got three of the greatest performances, I think, on screen ever. Robert Shaw as Quint, Richard Dreyfuss as Hooper, and Roy Scheider as Brody, the captain who hates the water, who lives on Amityville Island, who doesn't want to go out in a boat to capture the shark, but goes along for the ride. It's got great moments in it, great quotes in it. The very famous USS Indianapolis scene where Robert Shaw talks about his time on that boat. You know, the bit where Roy Scheider is shoveling the chum into the water and the shark comes up and he looks back and says, "We're going to need a bigger boat." It's just got brilliant, brilliant moments in it, fantastic performances. It never fails to thrill. The moment where that head comes out of the boat with the eye missing when he pulls the tooth out still shocks me, even to this day. And it was made back in 1975. And of course, I couldn't recommend it highly enough.
And it's become a metaphor for the pandemic and for the various reactions of various sectors to the pandemic as well. So there's a whole new lens on Jaws now as well. Listen, you don't have a T.G. Carr Western for us this week, but what you have for us is also tomorrow night on T.G. Carr, Hacksaw Ridge. Give me less than 1 minute on that.
Hacksaw Ridge, it's a true story. It's very good. It's directed by Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson was kind of into wilderness in Hollywood for a long time. He came back with a bang with this movie. It's a World War II movie about a guy called Desmond Doss. And Desmond, played brilliantly by Andrew Garfield, was the very first conscientious objector to be awarded the Medal of Honor. On religious grounds, he refused to carry a weapon and refused to shoot another human being. So he became a medic in the Second World War. Everybody, all his fellow soldiers, didn't like him. They all thought he was a coward because he wouldn't carry a weapon, but in fact he displayed great bravery under fire, saved a lot of lives, and ended up being awarded the Medal of Honor. And this movie is a true story. It's about his struggle to be accepted, his struggle to, you know, to get through the war in one piece. And it's a beautiful, really, really well made, well crafted film.
Okay. Jen, maybe finally we'll see how we go. We're kind of in a way spoilt with the streaming services. For I think there's a lot of films that possibly would have ended up in the cinema, and now they're dropping into our homes for free. So there's a Tom Hanks film arriving in Netflix on Thursday.
There is, News of the World, and it's directed by Paul Greengrass, who did the Bourne films and Captain Phillips, and it's starring Tom Hanks, and it's this really taut kind of intimate tale about the importance of storytelling. And Tom Hanks plays Captain Jefferson Kidd. He's a Civil War veteran. He travels through town delivering the news to locals as a means of distracting them and also as a, you know, to inform them. But on his journey, he encounters this young girl, Johanna, and she was kidnapped and raised by the Kiowa tribe, and he tries to make it his mission to reunite the girl, and she speaks no English. He tries to get her back to her only living relatives. And the film kind of touches on the aftermath of war and how history has to be remembered. But its main message is kind of about the need for kindness and the need for humanity in a world where violence and misery will always make the headlines. So I think it's really, you know, it resonates today, definitely.
Absolutely. God knows we all need a bit of kindness and humanity. And of course, it is exemplified for many people in Tom Hanks. He is their... He is their ideal every man and their decent guy. Okay, Brian Redden and Jen Gannon, thank you very much.